Get it?
Octavarius, so nefarious. Eight legs and a wicked arm. Octavarius descended from planet X, ready to save our planet from harm.
He'll make you laugh. He'll make you cry. But most importantly, he's gonna save your
team.
Let him speak for himself. He's got a line up.
Good dirtbag. Jerk.
Good inane conversation. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Welcome to the Octavarius Podcast. This is episode 120.
Yeah.
120.
Pretty funny. 120. Oh, I get
good
it.
120.
Yep. Anyway, without further ado, let's start off at the far end of the room and sound off.
Hey, it's Castelvi.
Hi there, it's LP.
It's B-Wo.
Hey, it's Cloud.
Oh, hey, it's Tim.
Oh, hey, it's Keith.
Howdy, partners. Mark here.
Hi, it's Chris.
And how are we all doing today? I feel
great.
You know why I am feeling great?
Why?
Is because that we are recording this on Monday, June 4th, I believe it is.
Yeah.
Yep. And this is the Monday, as we're recording this, it's the Monday before Comedy Sports makes its triumphant return to Comedy Sports. Did I say
Comedy Sports return to Octavarius? Yeah.
Yes, that is exactly what I meant. This Sunday, Comedy Sports makes its triumphant return to Octavarius. This Sunday and every Sunday afterwards until the end of time or whatever. And that's going to be
December.
That's going to be at 7 p.m. every single Sunday at Comedy Sports. That address is 929 West Belmont in sunny Chicago, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Just steps away from the Red Line Belmont stop. Also Purple Line and Brown Line stop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, we've been excited and dreading this day for so long.
I say more excited.
Definitely more excited and just nervous.
There's a little bit of nerves, I guess. Yeah.
I hope people like us still.
Also, since our last podcast, thanks to North Shore Country Day School for having us.
Yes.
Wonderful audience. And also thanks to all the folks that came out and saw Bus Cow at
Bus Cow! We found out who Bus Cow was.
Yeah,
it was Diva.
Yeah, it was Diva.
God, super. No, seriously, super fun time. Thank you, yeah. Caleb, Renee, and all those.
And also, thank you to Fremd from a week ago, Fremd High School, that had us performing there as well for their drama club. Mm-hmm. So, a lot of exciting new adventures with Octavarius.
Yeah.
High school, touring high school show, starting our new run back, still keeping all the beautiful, beautiful podcasts going.
I'm just enjoying these podcasts.
So beautiful.
I can't wait to find out whose birthday it is.
Whose is it, though?
Oh, as we are recording this?
Yeah.
It's actually Cloud's birthday.
Nice.
If you're listening, it's late. It's a couple of days. In the
so Lisa Ritterelli, American comedian.
That's me.
Happy birthday, Cloud.
Happy birthday, Cloud.
You did it.
Twofold.
Oh, actually, I got you a little something.
You didn't have to do that, too.
No. I got, if I can just... Shit.
No. Oh, no.
What's up?
Oh, shit. I was gonna... I had the mailbag.
Where'd it go?
I don't know.
You lost the mailbag?
I don't know. It's harder for
me. Oh, wait. I have it.
Oh, good.
I think Lisa's present's in here somewhere. Let me just open this letter and see if it's there.
Sure.
That seems fair.
What a loud mailbag, Mark.
It's not loud, it's just really unpleasant sound.
Yeah.
You can't really put a finger on what it is, but you know your brain doesn't like it.
Man, I don't want to put a finger on that thing.
I can put a finger on it.
Today's letter comes to us from one Premier. And Pre writes...
What Pre said?
Pre writes, hey guys... You know, a lot of things in life are spread out over many days and occasions. Uh-huh. But every once in a while, everything leads up to one big day. Whether it's like a big movie opening or a reunion of a lot of different things or a birthday. Wink, Cloud. I don't know how she knew. but, you know, sometimes there's that one day and there's all this pressure on it, but also all this excitement. And I... always wondered how that feels, because I've never had one.
Oh, wow.
Poor What's up with Pri? That?
What a sad story for Pri.
Yeah, poor Mir.
Wow. Well,
Mr. Mir.
Mrs. Mir. Oh, Miss.
Yeah, it's very feminine handwriting. Yeah,
I don't know if she's married, though. Well, I shouldn't say Mrs.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Yeah, it's very, very presumptuous. So premieres, huh? I guess when I think of premieres, I immediately think of like
Clouds Golf.
No, this entire podcast will just be Clouds Golf.
60-minute golf.
Oh God. No, I originally my mind goes to midnight movies, big summer blockbuster premieres in general. Have you guys gone to a lot of midnight showings?
All of Lord of the Rings, I believe.
Yeah, me too. Those
Lord
are great.
Movies.
I think I've only been to one ever
Which
in my
one?
Life. I think it was one of the Lord of the Rings, or it was a Star Wars.
You went to Spider-Man. You went to Spider-Man 3
yes,
with us.
I did go to Spider-Man 3, but much of my brain has done the right thing in forgetting that.
I remember we were so angry after, and we passed by your apartment, Brian, and we were like, let's do shots, and you were like, no.
We were
we were walking back, and we were so angry.
Yeah,
it was like 2 or 3 in the morning, because we got through, you know, the whole movie. We had to walk back to campus, and we walked by Bebo's place, and his window was open, and we saw him in the window, and we go, Bebo! Spider-Man 3 sucked. We're gonna go get drunk, and Bebo just shut the window and turned off the light.
I didn't live there anymore. That's impossible.
At the ship?
There's no way. Spider-Man 3 came out after I graduated.
No,
college.
It came out in our sophomore year.
Yeah, it came out
there.
In college.
Yeah, it came out
because I was in my sophomore dorm. You were still there.
And
there is a way it was possible, Bebo. There is a way.
Then I probably was having sex.
Maybe that's what it was. very likely what it was.
That was...
Because you wouldn't have been interested in talking to us.
That would be the only time I would ever do that.
It was actually May 4th, 2007. So you would have been like a week until graduation.
It was the next morning.
The
next morning we were going to do that elementary school show as the Mafia.
I was gone already.
May 4th?
I was doing the Express.
You weren't doing that. You didn't do that kid show with us in the morning.
No.
I
was
gone.
Of the seniors.
I was doing the Express.
Hmm. I could have sworn you
were there.
I was gone.
Someone in the apartment.
You might have thought it was me.
Maybe we just assumed it was you, but it was Makula or Mark.
I wouldn't do that to you guys unless I was definitely having sex.
Right.
So if
it was really late, and it was like a Thursday night? Or
yeah, we didn't feel hurt. We laughed about it. Like, wasn't it funny that he did that?
It's just not my humor, though.
Right.
I probably was not... It was either not me, or I was having sex.
Someone who looked like you.
Mark and Nick and I are the same build.
I know.
Yeah, and at night, when you're filled with that much rage, who knows what white man is what?
Yeah.
Who knows?
I think I was filming the movie The Express, which I did not attend the premiere for that. We've had a lot of
I was
nights.
Also in that. I was an extra in that film as well.
Me too.
And so was Keith and Mark.
And AJ Rom.
AJ.
Nick, do you remember December 2002? A variety of different important premieres? Because we had, that was like...
Who were you asking?
Makula. Oh,
he's
left.
He's not here.
Oh,
he's
my
not
God.
Here. He's not
he's
here.
Never been.
He's been dead for 10 years.
No. Yeah, he's not here, Mark.
What?
I understand Mark's mistake. Makula is normally about this vocal.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know.
Nick,
are you
so
to get coasting points on.
just by even mentioning it.
No, we in December 2002 was our senior year of high school. Nick was going to be so excited to talk about this.
Nope, no, he wasn't.
Well, okay.
It was
one of the first times in my life, at least, where just like a lot of shit went great. For, like, a sustained period of time. Because we just, like, so in 1 month, as, you know, as these rambunctious seniors in high school, we had, we hosted the variety show for the school, which just went over awesome. And then we went to the Lord of the Rings Two Towers, it must have been, midnight show. And we premiered a movie that we had made. And so it was just like all this stuff, like all rolled into 1 month, and it just all went really well. And I remember at the end of it, Nick being like, I don't know if any month will ever be better than December 2002, but I'm pretty sure there have been better months since.
It's all done.
But that one was still pretty great. And there was a lot of various premieres were part of it. And the things that I remember most, the three things I just named, all had premieres. Because, you know, it's interesting. Like, you can build up to, like, one huge day.
Yeah, I like... one of my favorite things is entering. I love starting things. Entering, beginning a thing.
Entering is funny.
Yeah, just entering is fucking great.
Yeah, it showing is fucking up. Great. Well,
it's one of those things. You can tell a lot.
Leaving's pretty good.
Make
sometimes.
An entrance.
Yeah, leaving is
leaving can be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Leaving's okay. But you entering's way better.
You make so many
judgments. Depends where you're entering.
You make, always. So, you make
it's
so many judgments.
It's not good if it's
a
concentration camp.
With leaving.
Fucking hey, Mark.
Why?
Oh, what was that?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, you make so many decisions about a person, like, from the instant they walk in the room. When you do competition things, that's a thing. Remember in speech team, we always said, if there's six people in the room, you could always tell who the top three and the bottom three are going to be within the first, like, minute or so they enter the room. You can just tell how a person walks in. And how they conduct themselves.
Makes sense.
You make so many snap judgments.
Sort of same style of thinking as job interviews, that sort of thing. Like, you know, just from a person's look, their demeanor, their actions, you know, you kind of know if you want to hire somebody, if you think they're going to be good for you. You know, as long as they're not fucking morons.
Just first impressions are such an important thing. As somebody said, it's a quote, I'm sure everyone's heard, but like, just the, you can only make your first impression once.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As you get older and you're meeting more people and it's something Biwo has even said before too, is like Biwo always makes sure he looks really nice anytime he goes somewhere. So he always makes sure his hair looks as good as his hair is supposed to look, and that he's stylish and that he's ready for anything he's doing. He never leaves the house looking slovenly or anything. And it's because you never know who you might meet and what impression you are going to make, and you always want to make the best impression possible. In case you meet, like, fucking a celebrity or a casting director or a millionaire
times.
Or whatever.
And if you
get
on someone's bad side, if you rub them the wrong way or they think you're shitty or unimpressed, like, it's way harder to win them back once they've already made that initial judgment about you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I find it hard, because I'm the same way, some days more than others, that I just take forever to pick an outfit for myself for the day, knowing, like, just being like, I gotta wear this for the day, and but sometimes I'm just like, you know what, fuck it, I'm gonna look like this. I don't care. I'm not gonna try to impress it. But that whole process usually takes me like 30 minutes. And LP, I don't know if you know, remember that from last year.
Yeah.
I'll often change clothes, not being comfortable in my own
clothing. Well, the thing I'll do is when I wake up, I'm like, okay, well, who do I have to see today? All right, I have to see these people today. I don't give a fuck what they think, what I look like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I'm, you know, going somewhere, like, I'm like, all right, well, I guess I should wear a button down or something, you know, something nicer.
I don't have enough nice clothes, really. Like, I think I have a total of 3 nice shirts that I fluctuate through. And since I fluctuate through them so quickly, they quickly become less nice because they're getting worn often.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, the jobs that I do where I work on a computer in our house or I babysit are my 2 most frequent jobs. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty much always wearing shorts and a t-shirt or jeans and a t-shirt or, like, the simplest thing in the world. And then I just walk everywhere. I'm not really having a lot of interactions other than, like, waving at people. So I really rarely look nice. And if I do look nice, I'm probably wearing... the same thing you saw me looking nice in last week. And it's probably a weekend we're actually going to converse with friends and others. And if it was just conversing with friends at their house, I'd probably just go straight from babysitting.
That is where the necktie, a blazer, and a hoodie can do a lot of things for you. Because then you can take your shirt, punch it up with a different tie, or...
We don't
want to
be overdressed either.
Yeah, I would hate
that. A blazer and a hoodie, both?
Well, or no, I'm just saying you can rotate them around that one shirt that you own.
Right.
So although you may have that one shirt, if you add a different accessory of a tie or, you know, a jacket of some sort, you know, you don't have to have all 3 together. Just rotating them so that that one shirt doesn't seem like you're only wearing that shirt. I mean, even though you might be.
See, I haven't been a server for a number of years, but back when I worked at a steakhouse, I would be very surprised by the clothing people would choose to wear. You know, I had a guy, he was like a terrible guest, and he was wearing a shirt that was basically like one of those things like, pull my finger and make a fart come out. Or like, show you like, this is where you can suck
Google that
my
shirt,
dick.
Please.
Yeah.
What is it?
But also,
pull my finger
normal
and make a
annoying.
Fart come out.
Yeah.
Normal, there's a lot of like.
But I remember the family was like celebrating the kids got like really good report cards or something. So they're going to go out and celebrate. And dad was like, finger goes in asshole. Like,
this is the one.
Can only look at so many shirts.
Why would you do that?
Some people just don't know. They just have no sense of style, no sense of taste, no sense of anything.
I just want to show people that I care because I know that, you know, I just care about them, so I cared to show up and look nice for them.
It's about them. It's about them.
It's like improv. It's about the other people.
You know, I mean, I always feel weird when I watch like a late night talk show and, you know, a guy shows up on a late night show and he's not in a suit. I think that's weird. Unless, like, he's a, you know, rock and roll guy and he's trying to put out an image. Like, if he's not wearing a costume. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess it also depends.
Because, like, Will Ferrell was that leprechaun. That was great.
But I guess it also depends on that person's personality, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't know, a lot of people, if they get on a late night talk show, they're gonna get a suit on. But, you know, it's just not really for everybody, necessarily.
Yeah.
Some people would be fine, you know, just with a button down and khakis like untucked, and that's their late night talk show.
National television.
I'm probably
I know,
not
but
gonna go
on national
to, like,
television.
But
you're
what
in
kind
everybody's
of
living room?
What kind of image are you trying to project, though? Because not for everyone, it's not necessarily I want to look as classy as possible.
Well,
not everyone wants to
classy.
Look classy.
Like, are you going to tell Mark Zuckerberg to take the hoodie off?
I would.
I think if Zuckerberg is on Letterman, he ought to leave the hoodie at home. Like,
I don't think he does, though. That's
I know,
what I'm
he
saying.
Always,
yeah.
He always wears the hoodie, and that's...
Can I be
a
good trade?
I have this crazy conspiracy theory about why Facebook's IPO, another premiere, that has gone so horribly, is I think some of the old, you know, the old, good old boys on Wall Street are trying to fuck him over because... He doesn't do things the way that they like, and he also is incredibly disrespectful to them in their eyes. Mm-hmm. And I think they're trying to fuck him over, and that's part of why his IPO is tanking, is because he hasn't been playing by the rules, with my little quotes. So some people are trying to sink his stock.
Do they have that power, though? Just that
yeah, man,
power?
They got more money than you and I could ever dream of.
Most big stocks like that are most of the major investors. It's not like the people of the world.
Yeah.
It's just giant hedge funds and pension funds.
Mm-hmm.
University endowments are like the union. I guess union would be like pension
funds. But that's the thing, though. It's really weird when a premiere doesn't match up with the hype.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a big reason why many premieres are great... is if you can have, like, a big kick-ass, like, groundswell, just everyone talking
about
everyone
kind
of...
Dude, it was fucking Facebook. That's
exactly.
That's, like, the biggest thing in our generation, really.
Everyone uses it every day, pretty much.
I think they take it for granted as well. I think that might have compounded with the IPO tanking.
Also,
people just not...
They're not very profitable.
No,
there's no business.
Not yet, but we don't know what can be. It's just that we all... You know,
they've had a couple of years now.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's a no-brainer. It seems like it would be just this huge successful thing because everyone uses it. All these businesses want access to it. But if you want to be a successful company at Wall Street, you have to have continuous growth. You have to be growing bigger and bigger all the time, every quarter. And if you really want to squeeze profits out of, like, Facebook, you're going to have to be giving people shit that they don't want. You know, just, like, more ads and more shit that gets in people's way.
Mm-hmm.
And you just
they're interested in getting money, and they're not interested.
So you
in,
just
like,
think
yeah,
that it's not as good. You don't think that it's guys
like
colluding.
I don't know. I just don't understand why. I mean, a lot of companies have been like a lot of tech companies have gone and done the IPO recently to varying results. And Facebook just seems like the top of all those online companies.
Yeah.
Except for maybe like Google.
Yeah, that's like the only thing that's bigger, really.
Yeah. And Google's been trading for a while now, right?
Oh, yeah. I think...
Yahoo's,
I don't know what Facebook's...
There. Yahoo does well.
No, Yahoo's doing terrible right now.
Well, yeah, now it's doing terrible. But, like, it's been around... They were an IPO years and years
ago. Google was the biggest IPO, tech IPO at least. I don't, maybe the biggest IPO, period. But and then Facebook might have passed it at least on day one, like the first day profits. But I don't know what it's at now.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because Google was big. Google's like... It was like $28 billion or something like that. And Facebook was supposed to be like 80 or 80 to 100.
Well, it dropped like crazy.
Now it's like, not that at all.
Like, and I think part of it is because, you know, he wasn't following the right rules when you introduce something.
It's like a marketing thing.
Yeah.
Like a premiere is a marketing event, really, because it get everyone talking about it.
Because it puts everyone on the same level. It's not, you know... Most of us don't know like shit about Wall Street or this happening, but when it's something new, it's something everyone can.
We
you know,
all
you're all learning about
it
and seeing how it goes for the first time, and then people will explain it later. And all we have is you know the hype of what people tell
something
us. And
finally breaks into the mainstream. What other premiere was like so great? I'm trying to think of.
Like, well,
like
what's like the biggest event? What's like the biggest event you guys have ever been to? Like big, I don't know how to phrase that better. Like giant public, fancy event.
Like where?
Like besides a concert?
I'd say like most expensive. No, I mean like somewhat exclusive event. So like not something like something you make maybe you buy tickets to, but like you have to be on a list.
Like C2E2, like that.
Yeah,
like,
you know what?
I'm thinking like premier type event, like a fancy, special guests. Like I haven't really been to that many.
Yeah. Didn't some of you guys go to like a Second City thing, an anniversary? Second City.
Oh, Harold Ramis.
Yeah, that was a lifetime achievement award. I would think a premiere would be more like what like Apple does with like when the new iPad's coming out, or when what's the video game one? The video game.
E3.
Yeah, where they have all the video game premieres.
I guess the auto show maybe. The
auto
show is
sure,
like
sure.
That.
Anything where you're going to make a big announcement, anything, any sort of thing like that.
Where people can have rumors, and then you have to control the rumors because if the rumors get out, people lose their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Or like when the iPhone was like people got someone left an iPhone for it at a bar.
Yeah, that was so awesome.
Yeah.
It was just like, fire from the mountain, it's
and they
out there.
Flipped Apple flipped the fuck out because one of their guys who had the prototype of the iPhone 4 just left it. And Gizmodo, a website that covers tech stuff, they...
But at the same time, I had heard that they did that on purpose.
Yeah.
It was like
they
a market.
Because, yeah, you see that happen with movies online.
Yeah,
like, they leak them for a day, and then they take them off. I mean, it's all so you can cause buzz.
That's the, you know, there was a trial, a big case about, it was Viacom and YouTube.
Yep.
And you guys all know about this?
Yeah.
Say it again.
Viacom and other large companies were suing YouTube, but because they were saying that they were being pirated on YouTube. People were posting, you know, Daily Show and other properties, Viacom, Nickelodeon, whatever you want to say.
Because it's YouTube, because everyone will post anything.
It's the internet's VCR.
And so in this, you know, case that they investigated for this trial, they found that some Viacom employees posted supposedly pirated content on YouTube. Because Viacom wanted them to leak things.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
And then...
Unbeknownst to the people suing at Viacom?
No, I think...
No, they just thought that no one would figure it out.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Or they thought that... I think what they thought is that it wasn't... Their leaking wasn't the majority of it.
Oh, I see.
And they found out that it was, like, a good percentage of it was just them leaking.
I think you have to prove harm, too. I think if you're a company and saying, okay, I'm suing YouTube... because they're pirating my videos, you have to show that that's hurt you financially. And when you look at it, they say, well, you know, you had a show that wasn't very well watched. Suddenly it's leaked on YouTube and people are watching it for free and passing around, and your ratings go up on TV because now more people are talking about you, more people are watching you. So they actually found the opposite to be true in that, like, you make a shit ton of money if everyone is waiting for this premiere and then everyone gets that opportunity to, like, catch it for a day.
That's you know, classic with the Chicago Blackhawks. Their old owner, Bill Wirtz, would not let them be shown on television because he thought if you watch a game on television, you're not going to want to go there and you know, pay for a ticket if you can get it for free.
Very wrong.
In a different medium, when Jack White released his newest album, he put it up on... He just let anybody in the world listen to the whole album about a week or so just through iTunes and just for 24 hours. Yeah. And it still became, like, the number one album on the charts for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I don't think it has an effect.
Well, like...
Positive.
It's just interesting, yeah.
I almost feel like we may have touched on it in another podcast, but there was a study done that says, like, people like spoilers.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, people enjoy they enjoy movies more when they know the ending is what that survey said.
Yeah, they just because we do, I mean while we like surprise, when you're thinking about, you know, you're just thinking about surprise, you're thinking about, oh, I don't know, and you're worrying about what might happen, whereas once you know that happens, you can kind of, your mind can go off in other directions and think about it on a deeper level.
Yeah.
So like if you showed people a story and they had to read a short story, you know, there wasn't as good a response as if you gave them a brief summary of it, just a couple bullet points of what's going to happen, and then they read the story and they know.
That's the other thing that's interesting about that survey, though, is I believe, I wish I could read it again to prove this, but I think what it also said was that if you ask people whether or not they'd rather know the ending first, they very much all were like, no, why would I ever want to know the ending first? But then if you looked at how they rated the stories, they liked it a lot more when they had... it's not like they were understanding this was the survey topic.
Right.
But just across the board, it was better rated when they knew
because
the
first time's special. We romance everyone's first time. I mean, the first
entering.
Time...
Entering.
Entering. Yeah, entering. The first time, it's supposed to be the most memorable. You're supposed to have a very specific... mindset to experience something the first time, and then you're supposed to remember.
That's a good prospect that you're bringing up. You sort of, because we have a parallel, like having sex for the first time. What's some time that you have highly anticipated something that was terrifying to you? Like, so it's like a premiere of a terrifying event of your life. Like, you knew it was coming. Like, at some point, this is going to happen to me. And how, like, I think that was probably the one that you think about the most.
I used to be really scared of getting old. I was like, I don't want to be an adult. I don't want to be old. But then I think especially, like, hanging out with you guys throughout college and other things, I realized, like, oh, it doesn't have to be a negative thing. Like, you can still have fun and be, quote-unquote, old or an adult.
Yeah. Although I wouldn't say being old is really a premiere type event, but I see what you mean.
Yeah, it's not like you wake up one day and you're like, I'm an adult. But, yeah. I mean, just that came about.
I'm just, someday I'm going to throw my back out, I betcha.
Yeah.
Someday when I'm, if I'm 70-something, I'm just going to hurt myself.
Yeah.
Dude,
really
bad.
Like, you know what's weird?
I do that now. That's
I don't know if you guys think about it, but prostate exams.
Dude, right?
They're
coming up.
Man. They're coming up with technology to make it not so weird.
Let's just get it over with now. Make sure I don't have, like, secret cancer.
Yeah, like...
When is prostate? When are those supposed to start? Like 30?
I thought it was
35
like
40. Or 40 or something like that.
35? Shit, man.
Yeah. It's right around the corner.
No, looking forward. It's,
yeah, I'm not usually, looking forward to that at all, no.
Yeah. I don't care. It's probably not that bad.
I don't go to the doctor now anyway.
I just right, I can't afford that.
Yeah, man.
I just don't want to have to really deal with it too much, but you know, it's just going to be affect the life.
From a lady point of view, I'm scared of mammograms because all I know is that you're like boobs get squished and it's like ow.
Dude, whatever. You got your boobs squished before though, right? I ain't got no finger up my ass before. I ain't have some fucking old dude who went to like 3 colleges fucking finger me.
Unless you're accommodating, it'll be fine.
I'm sure it'll be very comfortable for everyone.
I gotta tell you, I remember the first time that I had a doctor grab my balls and make me turn my head and cough.
Yeah.
And it was when I was first in middle school.
Where you been?
He'd be grabbing eyebrows all the time.
It wasn't my family doctor. It was like the school's doctor, like that they had there or something.
Why'd they grab your balls?
That's for cancer.
Gotta check and see if your balls are okay.
Cancer, hernias, just shit.
Were you not aware of turn your head and cough?
No,
that's what that is.
You were 24 years old and you had no idea that
he doesn't have balls.
Still, it's popular culture.
You never heard that joke?
No.
You've never seen that joke done in like any.
I guarantee you, just turned
right over her head. Yeah, it went over my head.
It must have just flown over in like a fucking Hindenburg.
I don't know what the coughing does, personally.
You're gonna watch
everything. Everyone knows about
coughing. You're gonna watch Rocco's Modern Life, and it'll blow your mind.
That's true.
He did it. Turn your head and Rocco, like his eyes, like popped out and just bulged out of his head when he was at the doctor's office, and the doctor tells him to like turn and cough, and then he just like feels Rocco's eyeballs. For like a second or two, God. And I'm like, that's a total physical.
I think I'm just remembering that now.
Yeah. And shit was full of goodies like that.
Well, this doctor at the middle school, who was not my family doctor, so he was a complete stranger. Just
grab your nuts.
He grabbed hold of those things and he squeezed the life out of them.
Oh no.
I was afraid that my grapes would burst.
Is that what you told him in those words?
No, I couldn't say anything. I just tried to be quiet.
Just bit his lip and grabbed his suspenders.
You're gonna burst my grapes!
See, my doctor was always very understanding.
You're gonna burst my grapes! Don't burst my grapes!
Brian Wall, like 60 pounds, just shivering.
Hey, this guy's squeezing my grapes! He's gonna burst my grapes! My grapes!
My grapes!
Oh, it was awful. I got back and the guy was squeezing my grapes. Thought they were gonna burst.
Mom, you'll never guess what happened to me today.
I cannot imagine that school was gonna be like that today.
That's really.
No, Keith, your thing you set up where like you knew it was gonna happen and then it sucked.
Yeah.
Like puberty was like that for me, where it's like you heard it was gonna suck and everyone's like when you have an older brother, they're like, coming up in 2 years, everything's gonna start getting weird. And then it didn't feel weird at the time, but then you look back and you're like, oh, that kind of sucked.
You know, for me,
it was so gradual. It was just
braces were like that.
Oh, yeah.
I got braces later than everyone. So everyone had braces, and they're like, mine are coming off in 6 months. Oh, I'm so glad. Those sucked.
How old were you? What grade were you in?
I think I got them like the end of 8th grade.
I think that's when I got them.
That's a bad time. Yeah, going into high school with braces.
Yeah. Beginning of 6th grade.
Game over.
That's way better.
Did you go to the same grade school from same people from like 1 through 8?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, so then you knew everyone. Everyone already knew what you looked like.
Yeah,
so it was just like a little.
But then you have a fresh look for freshman year.
But then you're especially ugly when you're because like everyone's like ugly when they're going to
puberty. Yeah,
but you're really ugly then.
But like, I'd much rather have no braces like when you hit high school and then all of a sudden there's like you can do more.
And I had to have like rubber bands. That was like the most embarrassing.
I hated
thing
rubber
for me.
Bands.
Just to have rubber bands in my mouth
and a bite plate.
Yeah, I just felt so embarrassed with my damn rubber bands. Just talking.
Well, it was for years. You had it for over a year, maybe two years.
Like 2 years, year and a half.
Two and a half years.
You know, the only time.
So it was just like, ugh, forever.
What are you guys doing over here?
You're shrieking my grapes.
That's what it was like.
Ah, you burst my grapes!
God, I hope not. No. Nobody
burst. I don't care about your burst!
I don't think I've ever heard balls referred to as grapes.
I have. To be fair, I have
not. It's not a popular.
Well, they're about the size and shape of grapes, though.
No, not like most grapes.
I know. Hear anyone call them grapes.
No, I'm thinking about like the balls grapes. The red grapes. They're a little bit more oblong. You know, I mean, they're smaller than human testicles.
Yes. They're much smaller than these testicles.
Cloud, what did you think that John Steinbeck novel was about?
The grapes! With my grapes!
The balls of
grass. Oh
was trying to describe my 11-year-old balls, and I would describe them as grape.
Much more grape like on the vine.
Oh my god!
Young and ripe.
Grape like in size.
Yeah, and then you get a bunch of premieres around there. They make everything in school seem like it's like the first and the last and the biggest and like
first love. First kiss.
First dance. First prom.
Oh, first punch in the face.
I've never been punched in the face.
Cool, it's not pleasant.
It's not cool.
Stay away that way.
No, you don't.
Stay up street cred.
No, you don't need that. You don't need that shit, girl. Stay out of that.
Claude, they're going to fuck you up. We're going to tear out your ears.
I'll take them out.
You're gonna get fucked up.
Dude, Cloud, you are going fucked out, dude. You got a glass jaw.
Some secret strength.
You're so nice, though. You're not a fighter. You're
I'm a Gemini. I have two sides.
Holy
I'm
shit.
I'm a Gemini. My two sides are I work at a computer in my house or I babysit. I don't go around fighting nobody.
I'm not looking for a fight, but if it comes, I'm get angry.
Oh, you stupid fight.
I'm saying if it comes to me, if it happens, I'm gonna fight.
Alright, Cloud. And you gotta fight someone then, if you're saying
that's
this.
That's one of my life goals.
Cloud, who would you fight?
A girl who's angry at me.
Why a girl? What if it's a dude?
Why is she angry at you?
Like, what if you provoked her?
How many of her your golf tips
like,
has she taken?
It's like wrestling, what are they called? The like classes of wrestling? I need to fight someone in my...
Sparring?
Weight?
Weight class?
Weight range, my similar type.
That's not how fighting in real life goes.
Yeah.
Well,
sometimes you go up against a lady that's way bigger than you. Sometimes you go up against a dude.
Well, I'd like a lady of my size.
If I had to pick a fight with anybody, which I'm going to do tomorrow. Find a girl my size, she's angry at me.
She has to be angry at you, so you have to find a girl that's roughly your size and agitate her.
No, she says like...
Just be like, what's the problem with your face?
She has to initiate.
Excuse me, miss, what's the problem with your face?
She's got to initiate, man.
Yeah, she shouldn't have had that face.
This is a terrible strategy.
I almost got into a fight this last past Memorial Day, actually. This is the start. Remember, if you recall, that was the day of our... No, this was the fundraiser day.
Yeah.
So was that Sunday? I think it was Sunday.
Yeah.
And so we did that, and then we went to another bar. If I went with you and Makula, or maybe just you and me.
And Makula.
And two friends of ours, Erica and Catherine. But I went by myself because I had my bike, and I'm drunk. And so I go to that 7-Eleven.
Is this what happened with Houseman?
Yes. Yes. So I get...
No, not Houseman.
No. So I get to the 7-Eleven that's across the street there on Broadway. And I'm drunk and I'm trying to find where the lighters are, which they're at the counter. I don't know where I was going. But Houseman, Nick Houseman and his friend Duffy, and then another friend come to the bar. And we talk, apparently, for an extended period.
At
7-Eleven? At 7-Eleven. Must have been for about 2 minutes. Blackout. 2 days later, I'm talking to Houseman. So I don't remember anything that happened at 7-Eleven or that bar
where
I was too drunk to be at. And so then fast forward, Houseman is talking to me online and he's like, hey, sorry about my friend Duffy last night. He didn't know that you were just messing around. He thought that you were making fun of him. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Well, apparently you guys were talking, you were joking around. But he thought that you were kind of being a dick, and he thought you were being a real dick. So he was being a dick. And then you guys were being like having a dick competition up after each other. And then he wanted to fight you. He was going to fight you outside of the 7-Eleven, but you went through the other exit to the bar across the street. And so he was calling you, screaming at you, calling you a faggot. But I'm sorry about that. I'm like, okay, I don't remember any of that. So that was the time I almost got into a fight recently.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would have been.
Did you get the lighters?
I did. I got it.
Mm-hmm. I'd say that would be lighter. A terrible thing to unblack out from, just having just been like fucked up a bit.
Yeah,
yeah, dude. I didn't want to have to fight that day.
I've seen guys that that get messed up like that and then get beat up.
People are looking for a fight. Well, I'm like that when I drink tequila. Sometimes I get it.
God, I'm like never looking for a fight.
There's this documentary I saw. I think it's on Netflix. And it is about this drug in, I don't remember, it's one of their little coastal friends in the southeast of us, one of those millions of things down there.
Is this bath salts?
No, it's a certain type of drug that is like this perfect roofie, in the sense that it makes the person compliable, but not like drunk, like twisted looking. You seem like a normal person.
That's so creepy.
But you just agree to everything.
That's terrible.
And you have no recollection of it. It's a drug that you don't appear in a like disabled.
Someone will
tell you, say, Keith, go over and tell that doorman that I'm your friend and we're getting some stuff out for me. And you just say, okay. And you go do it.
That's so scary.
And you don't remember any of it. And it's this real drug, and like too much of it will kill you.
It seems like it's an evil version of truth serum.
It's called like the devil's like something. It's got this horrible street name because it is like a drug that people will slip into people's stuff.
The devil's breath, is it called?
Yeah, devil's breath.
People fear it
living there because it looks just like coke, and like people try to sneak it into you if you're not being careful. If you're a tourist down there, they'll like, and you look like you could just easily be tricked, they'll just do it. They don't care.
So when you say Southeast, you're talking about Caribbean islands?
Yeah. Where does it say in the...
It says Colombia. Colombia's devil's breath.
It's Colombia.
I'm trying to find out what the name of the drug is, though. Scopolamine?
Yeah, that's what I'm scopolamine over here.
Yes.
And it's this plant that grows natively there. So it's just loose and wild. Like, the plant's just wild. And it's everywhere. And it has these different traits and its different qualities.
Leaves
are one thing. There's the fruits. It's sort of like a nut fruit. And it's like, has like a, like of these seeds inside, and you grind up the seeds, you chemically treat the seeds, and that's how you make this version of that.
Wow, yeah, it says, some victims report emptying bank accounts to robbers or helping them pillage their own house.
Wow. Yeah.
That is terrifying.
That's so scary.
Yeah, we need to watch this documentary. It's amazing. Just because of what the drug's effect is. It's just thinking about that horrible
effect. Unable to resist suggestion is what it says.
For the Colombians, the drug is called Devil's Breath because it steals your soul.
Wow.
Yeah. I think you're on the same web. Soberliving.com?
Yeah.
All right. Soberliving.com.
Does this work on everyone, or is there like one boy?
No, it says that...
whose will is too strong.
Sometimes they just pass out.
Yeah, what sometimes happens is if a person's will is too strong, they overdose because the person tries to give them more.
Ooh.
And then they die.
This is terrifying. I've never heard of this before.
It's Colombian. I hadn't either. I only found this thing like... No,
you're finding out all sorts of things.
It's just in this podcast. I guess maybe getting chemically treated to this state is like a last 5 years thing.
We should use this fucking on our enemies somehow. Make them dance for us.
We should make enemies.
No, we should just convince them that they saw us and they met us and it was amazing.
Yeah, they wanted to empty their bank account into my hands.
Yeah, and they gave us all that money because they love us the most.
And they buy the Octavarius cigarette lighter, the Octavarius pint glass, the Octavarius albums.
Mm-hmm. Available soon at your local Octavarius show.
Ooh, and the drug itself is... Scopolamine?
Yeah, scopolamine.
It says that, although scopolamine is sometimes portrayed in the media as a dangerous drug, its anti-cholinergic properties give it some legitimate medical applications in very minute doses. An example is the treatment of motion sickness used by a transdermal patch.
Yeah.
I guess being able to control someone's mind briefly... could be useful for medicinal.
I suppose so.
Does it last for like a few hours or a day or just
you snap your fingers?
It's like a 6 to 12 hour thing.
Till the devil's done with you.
This has been around for a while.
Oh, yeah.
I clicked the in pop culture section and they said, Truth Serum in 1957 achieved a moderate level of notoriety in I Was a Teenage Werewolf. In Fear Loathing in Las Vegas, Hunter S. Thompson mentions an incident in which he was given a Datura root as a gift, ate the entire thing. Okay, I don't know if that's a direct reference to that. But anyway, it seems like this has been around for... This isn't like a new thing.
Maybe it's got a lot of different applications. Like, the different parts of the plant do different things. And one of the things that it can do, the worst, is that it makes you so compliable. Sometimes you just trip.
I wonder if that would be so terrible for improvisers to take that and then just do a long show.
Yes.
Because everybody would just say yes and all the time.
It's, yeah.
That'd be a horrible improv show.
Why? It might be great. Yes and. You never know.
I feel like, as a group, we have a hard time saying no. We have to do like a bad improv thing.
We say no sometimes.
Sometimes. I think you're right. I think we're more open to more some ideas.
To suggestion.
I mean, we kiss each other all the time. I mean, yeah. I'm down for it. Well, I think we'll all just do something for the joke.
Everybody immediately complied to that request in our rehearsal today. Spoiler alert. We're leaking it out.
Here we go.
Let's leak it out. It's going to drive
people. Dude, Scotland left the chat room, so it's fine.
They hear that we're all going to be kissing, apparently.
Almost all.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Dude, don't ruin the surprise.
Don't ruin the surprises.
Spoiler. We're giving spoilers.
I like the show better if they know.
Yeah. Get people excited.
We should just start making bulletins, like church bulletins, of the show. Let them know exactly what they're about to see.
How much do you think one of those signs costs? I'm just thinking like
you're talking about the light up church signs with exchangeable letters.
Yeah,
where are we gonna put that
in that window?
Why is this always in our house? It's never in your house.
I'll take it if you want. I just want to know how much.
We need to put it outside comedy space.
I'll look it up.
It's probably $2,500.
You're just googling light up church sign.
It's pretty cheap, I guess. Probably. Church light up.
But I imagine something like that would get stolen immediately, unless you make it the kind of light-up church sign that's good enough that it's actually, like, stone burrowed into the ground.
ChurchSupplyWarehouse.com. Thank you. Dude, you can get them for $2,500.
That's what I guessed.
That's exactly what Keith said.
Boom!
Some of them are $4,000. You get a whole... Look at these.
Yeah, how many letters do you get with them, though?
Oh, that is important. Without the letters, it's pointless. Surely I can get... These are the top sellers.
How much are the electric ones that you can just type things into?
I'm looking at the lowest ones right now.
I'd so much rather have one of those, like, four spotlights that move. You know what I'm talking about?
Those are nice.
Yeah. That's a premiere.
Like the Batmobile kind of thing?
Wow.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, the bat signal.
Yeah, but four of them that move and intercross.
Will they go far in the city, though, because all the buildings?
Oh.
They still use them in the city. They use them in Wrigleyville all the time.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, they're not terribly expensive. Yeah. Like, I think it's like $300 for, like, you know, maybe an hour of using them. So you do it, like, while everyone's coming in.
Yeah. Really? We call those searchlights.
Mm-hmm. Do it.
We should do that one day, just for fun.
Just blow a bunch of money on the four big searchlights.
Not a bunch of money, $300.
I'd rather spend that on an ambulance.
I was just about to say the ambulance.
Well, that was what I initially envisioned for the wrestling show. Yeah, that would have been awesome.
Just parking an ambulance out front.
Yeah. And having the lights go. So that it would signify that there would be danger. It was also hearkened to Slapshot. Because Paul Newman's character paid an ambulance driver to just run the siren and drive circles around the rink so that people would think that there would be, you know, some real violence that night. So I thought that would be fun as a premiere for our show.
We should, have a premiere where we, put about 30 ducks behind, like, the doors, and when we open the doors to the show, ducks. All the ducks just run out. That'd be cool.
What if the ducks got hurt?
They're just ducks, right?
They're just ducks. They're not like they have souls or anything. They're just ducks.
Just give them all the devil's
money. I love eating rubber ducks.
I imagine a credit sequence of the movie that finishes, no animals were harmed in the making of this production, except for some ducks. They're just ducks.
They won't tell me how much it costs to rent these spotlights. They've really... I gotta call Bob.
How much would it cost?
818-470-5483. That's Bob's searchlights.
That's Bob's searchlights.
Woo-hoo! man.
Okay, what if for our premiere we just each got a duck and we just ate duck in like a nice plum sauce?
Dude, I found
I would always say yes.
Well, yeah. While holding ducks with us, like we make the ducks sit there with us while we eat ducks.
We'll have ducks and we'll feed them the ducks.
No, don't do that to them.
Dude, I don't need ducks.
They're just ducks. They're just ducks.
I don't need duck. All I need is like a can of mushroom soup.
I can still taste how salty that was. That was like the saltiest thing I've ever.
It was great to chase it with beer. Yeah, that was the right idea.
Drinking still condensed room temperature Campbell's cream of mushroom soup.
This is at that one show.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
It was the Valentine's Day show.
Yes, it was.
We made an audience member, a child, do that as well.
Yeah. A child did that. She wanted to. She did want to. She didn't have to. She wanted to impress everyone because that was her premiere.
It was gross.
That was quite possibly her first time on the stage.
$365 is how much it takes to rent one of these spotlights.
For an hour?
For 3 hours.
3 hours?
Does it have four different things on it and they go back and forth?
It looks like just a giant spotlight, actually.
Oh, so you just get one.
You can get a gigantic spotlight.
So you need to get like four of those then.
And they need to wiggle around.
Too much money.
Yeah. It seems like you get paid it. For how long it takes to travel to where you need to be. Fuck you, Bob. You're really
just
ripping us off here.
Skydive with a sign. Everyone will see it.
We gotta see if Bob will let us sponsor him. And we'll just hope he doesn't listen to
I'm looking
podcast.
At this website, and I don't think Bob's got the money to do that.
We'll see if we can schmooze him a bit. You know, we'll wine him and dine him, take him out to a round of golf or something.
Well, I can't afford golf, not with this brain of mine.
Oh, well, I guess you You're need so some Bob's golf tips.
On a birthday.
Take approximately 1 year of salsa dancing lessons. That way you'll be able to move your hips in any direction. As they say, if you have control of your hips, you have control of your grapes. Did I say grapes? I mean balls.
This has
been Couch Golf Tips.
I'm a grape, a grape. Each week, I'm a grape, a grape.
You're making wine.
Don't you have to step on
this? This is my life, man.
Just crush it.
Oh, boy. You know, folks, it is June 4th for us.
June 4th today.
But for most of you people listening to the podcast as it premieres this Friday on iTunes and on Octavarius.com, you are likely listening to this on Friday, June 8th, which means we have some very special birthday wishes.
We got some good ones today, Keith.
We do.
Thanks for including me. I love this.
Well, that being said, happy birthday, Kanye West, American rapper.
Wow. Happy birthday, Keenan Ivory Wayans, famous from In Living Color.
Happy birthday, Seu Jorge. I believe that's how it's pronounced, but I've never known. Brazilian musician and actor.
Happy birthday, Barbara Bush.
Happy birthday, Boz Skaggs, which is a funny name.
That's a great name. What's he do?
He's a blues rock singer.
Yeah, man, it's Boz Skaggs.
Lido Shuffle. And he was referenced on Family Guy, I think.
Thank goodness.
Probably, yeah. That's all the exciting ones I see on here.
We got Jerry Stiller. Happy birthday, Jerry.
Oh, happy birthday, Jerry.
Jerry Stiller. You did it, man. You had a famous son.
Did anybody die today?
Well,
Frank Lloyd Wright died today.
Oh, he's great.
With family
architect.
And
oh.
friends.
Or was born today. This website's kind of vague.
Many condolences to the Prophet Muhammad.
I was just going to say, to the friends and family of Muhammad.
632.
Dude, we can't say Muhammad.
I'm sorry for your loss. Okay.
Why?
I don't know. they're going to jihad us.
Andrew Jackson died today.
God damn it.
Great lines.
They might.
Yeah, and a sorrowful death day to Thomas Paine, American revolutionary writer.
American pamphleteer.
And get your presents now, because Natalie Portman's birthday is tomorrow.
And at the time of this recording, I just want to mention that Edward Kill died today on June 4th. The singer of the Trollololo song.
I saw that today.
That's right.
He became famous way late in life.
77, right?
Yeah. Does anyone know? Did he get to enjoy? Did he enjoy that he was a meme?
Yeah, he
was a Russian guy.
Yeah, he asked the world to like sing the song as like a world peace thing. or something.
Because it wasn't it originally like a communist kind of like we're better than America kind of thing, variety show, or a Soviet one, excuse me.
I don't know
the context past
those Ruskies. From the grave, they're trying to take us down.
That's what he was at the time.
Nice try, Trollolo guy. Rest in peace, you prankster.
Dude, Michael J. Fox is going to be 50 tomorrow on June 9th.
Fuck!
Can you believe he's that old?
Wow.
He looks great.
He does.
Well, folks, that is going to just about do it for us. Wow. I actually feel kind of an emptiness. We're missing Makula.
With no wisdom.
I guess we have to each do a word.
Well, are we going to do an eight words?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, God.
I guess you know what time it is then, folks. It's time for Octavarius's
eight words of wisdom.
You get
three
favors
in
life. Jerry.
Stop.
This has been Octavarius'
eight words of wisdom.
That's about par for the course, yeah. I think.
Stop at the end of sentences.
Stop.
Old telegram.
I felt like the sentence was done.
Yeah.
Well, we only have one more thing to remind you guys before we say goodbye. Mm-hmm. Again, our show comes back. We are going to be So Nefarious once more.
Yes.
Every single Sunday night until the end of time or whenever. 7 p.m. at Comedy Sports every Sunday, 929 West Belmont in sunny Chicago, Illinois.
Is there a discount that we know of?
That's a great question.
Check the website.
Check the website because we recently changed it because we recently changed what we were going to do.
Great.
Check that website for the discount and do that thing and you'll get a discount for the show, which is normally $10 or it could be $7 with the discount.
And as always, you'll get to party and have a couple of drinks with us, get to hang out with us after the show. We'll have some drinking games. We'll have music. We'll have dancing.
And Hooters food. Yes. There's going to be food from Hooters. Is going to be catering the after party, so get there for sure. Because I remember last time we did it was any indication that food went quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get any.
I didn't get any either, but I was okay with that.
I got some, and it was delicious, but I still felt that I didn't have enough.
Anyway, folks, that is this Sunday. So be there, please, and spread the word.
RJ, come on.
If you're not already, follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Octavarius.
This podcast that leaks secrets about the show.
And
so many secrets.
Until next time, have 8 days and a wicked week.
Bye.
Squeeze my grape.
So run for your life. You're running out of time. Close and lock the door.
He's coming back for more.